Welcome to Ready, Set, Practice, the podcast designed to help new PAs navigate their careers with confidence. I'm Dr. Jennifer Orozco-Cole, Chief Medical Officer of the American Academy of Physician Associates, and today's episode is all about teamwork, both in medicine and in advocacy. The PA profession is built on collaboration, not just with healthcare teams, but also within professional organizations and advocacy efforts that shape the future of our role in medicine. Joining us today is Jonathan Baker, a passionate advocate and leader in the PA community. Jonathan has dedicated his career to advancing the profession through his work with NISPA, the LGBT PA Caucus, and the APA's House of Delegates. He'll share insights on how new PAs engage with advocacy, professional development, and mentorship, even with a busy schedule. Jonathan, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Jen. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited you're here with us today. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and why has being part of PA advocacy been so important to you, the profession, and our patients?
I would love to. I'm going to take you back to even before I started PA school, because that's really where it all started. I went to a small university in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, that was a Catholic university. And I had a really great undergrad and graduate experience there. And part of my time there, I spent doing a lot of theater. And I can't dance, act, or sing. So medicine was definitely right for me. But I can get on a stage and make a fool of myself in front of all of my peers and feel totally comfortable. And one of the other things that happened while I was there was a group of us put together a gay straight alliance within a Catholic university. So there's a lot of sort of dynamics there, but we worked really closely with leadership of the university and created something that was really special. And from there, I went to PA school and sort of like left all that behind, focused on my studies. I wasn't really sure where I would go in medicine, but we had the opportunity to write our master's thesis. And I was like, I'm going to do something about LGBTQ health. And so I found that there was this work towards screening for an HPV cancer in gay men, basically, that is really similar to what happens in cervical cancer with a gynecologist. And I wrote that thesis paper. And that thesis would actually sort of be the leverage that I used in getting my first job. And that first job was an infectious disease job at the University of Pittsburgh, where I was doing some work in screening for anal HPV. And during that time, I was starting to get involved. I was attending conferences, skipping a lot of sessions, hanging out on the Vegas Strip. But I met a bunch of really cool people who were in this LGBTPA caucus. And I was like, I like these people. I connect with them. Cool. Over time, they talked me into leadership. I eventually became president of the organization. I started speaking at conferences. And that's why I gave you that background, is that being on stage and being comfortable with that was really valuable. And building that gay straight alliance in sort of a weird dynamic gave me some of those skills. And I always like to share that because we all have some background. And I think there's always some way to bring that into what we do as professionals. I would go on to move to New York, where I have now worked for 10 years in colorectal surgery. And with that, I brought that 5 years of infectious diseases and really became this niche provider where I am a specialist in colorectal disease as it relates to infectious diseases. And if that sounds totally bizarre, it should, because I'm like the only person doing it. But it's one of my favorite things about the PA profession is we really have this opportunity to accumulate experience, to layer specialties and create these unique niches. In doing that, I realized I was often sort of the best provider for my patients because of that unique experience, and started to recognize there were some barriers there. With my experience with the LGBTPA caucus, I recognized how important advocacy was. I got involved with the New York State Society of PAs, where they would eventually talk me into serving as president as well. And it really just comes back to making sure my patients can always get to me as their provider when I'm the best person for them.
Jonathan, such an inspiring story. And, you know, I've had the benefit of watching you from your career kind of move in this ladder. And as you know, I was in the advocacy space too, still am. But I think it's so interesting you talking about that background, because, you know, you get into medicine thinking you're going to do one thing, and you go down a path that you didn't expect, and it leads you to the next path and the next path and the next path. But as a PA, you have such that unique lens of different specialties, different experiences, and it really shapes who you are. And sometimes you are the only expert as the PA in the space. And, you know, you really get to see, and I know you've seen this, how important advocacy is, not only for the profession, but for your patients. So tell us a little about, you know, you are a busy clinician, right? We're busy clinicians. So how the heck do we have time to be a part of these organizations? You know, you found your community, which is part of the LGBT caucus, which is part of AAPA. The state chapter organization, again, part of AAPA. And a lot of people think, no way I have any time to be part of these things or take a leadership role. So talk to you know, young PA students, new graduates, how can they get involved when they think, no way I can put one more thing on my plate?
Yeah. I feel that so much. I did work all day, got to the gym after work, and here I am on this podcast. And hopefully I'll get to relax a little bit tonight. So I feel it, and I'm there with you, and I really like to have a good social life too. So I think it's really all about, finding something that you're passionate about. And I always tell people when they want to get involved, there's really four places to look. You have obviously the national organization, AAPA, but that's not the end all be all. There's so many other options, and those options ultimately actually support AAPA, right? So being involved with your state chapter, for me, the New York State Society of PAs, being involved with a specialty or special interest, which might be a surgery PA association, or for me, it's the LGBTPA caucus. And then you also have within your institution, right? There's all kinds of committees and work to be done at the institution level. And PAs are natural leaders. We are intelligent, we're problem solvers, we're dynamic, and we're really great on those teams. And so it's really for me about finding the area that interests you, and making that part of what you're doing. So sometimes the employer can be supportive in doing this, right? So my employer gives me time to go to CME conferences. And so I go to AAPA and I go to the New York State Conference. And now I don't skip sessions, I actually speak at the sessions. And I'm very heavily involved. But it's really like part of my work week, right? I'm not working during those times, so I have that time. And then sometimes I'm on calls at night, but it's usually stuff I'm really passionate about. Tomorrow night I'll be on the conference planning committee for the New York State Society of PAs. And it's really pretty cool to help plan a conference, and you're like picking menu options and room setups and what's medical jeopardy going to look like and where's the DJ going to be. I like party planning. I didn't learn that in PA school. So there's just always some way that you can take what you're interested in. And most of these organizations have committees that might meet once a month, and you might miss it, and that's okay. And then if you are great in that role, maybe you move up to a committee chair, move up to a board role. And then one day someone talks you into running for president, and maybe you do it.
Yeah. Here you are, right? You know, I think that your point about passion is so important. And there's so many things. I think sometimes we put our narrow blinders on of medicine clinician. It must be clinical. And sometimes it helps to bring in that other skill set and figure out what you're passionate about, right? For mine, it was leadership and administration. And that was what I liked. And that was what brought me joy and kind of getting into the nuances of efficiency within a hospital system, or, you know, what is the best optimal team to deliver care when you have a shortage of physicians, nurses, all these people. So how do you optimize that team type of environment? And really also find time for play. It brought me a lot of joy when work was tough to do advocacy and to do committee work. And it was all volunteer, no one's getting paid to do it. But it brought me the joy to keep me going and do some other things outside of just showing up every day and doing my work, which is very rewarding. But at the same time, you want to feel you're giving back in sort of a way. And it's such a great way to do so. So tell me a little bit about, we've all had mentors, right? I've had a mentor. I'm sure you have, one or two mentors in your life. So maybe share how mentorship, has really helped you and any advice you have for students on maybe helping them find a mentor.
Yeah, I have such a unusual relationship with mentorship because I've never actually had someone I've formally identified as a mentor. Like I've never used the AAPA mentor match or or work through NISPA to find a mentor or work through the LGBTQIA caucus to find a mentor. And all of those organizations can help that if that is what you're looking for. But I've had and I'll make up names for them. One is sort of accidental mentorships, and the other is forced mentorships. And forced mentorships is when you're working with someone and you're learning from them, and you're not necessarily there to be a mentee. That's not the mindset, but you end up learning so much and often teaching each other. But more so, where I thrive and where I've had really beautiful mentorship relationships is informal mentorships. And I've had people who I talk with frequently for a few months while they're applying to PA school, and I might not hear from them for 3 more years when they've graduated and they started practicing as a PA. But they always know that I'm there for them. And I have to say that every time that I mentor someone, I feel like I am cheating because I get so much more from it than I feel like I'm giving. But if you asked any of them, they would say the total opposite. And so it's really a beautiful thing. But I think there's really a lot of value in that sort of formal mentorship and would encourage people to seek that out, especially if you feel alone where you're at. If you're the only person that looks like you in your PA class, there are many more of you, but they might be throughout the country. There are many more of you who are practicing PAs. You can find them, and there's tools available for that. But don't discount the importance of those informal relationships or those, as I call them, sort of forced mentorships.
No, and that's great advice. And I think a lot of people get hung up on it must be formal, and then they don't do it at all, right? So to your point, you fall into it, and some people offer different things. There's not one size fits all for all parts of your life, and I might have this person over here for this and this person over here for this, right? But
100%.
it's important that you reach out. And there's a lot of resources from the academy, from the state chapter, from the caucuses, to help you along your way and along your journey. So, you and I have worked together a long time, and in the House of Delegates. And I know we had sort of our questions, so I'm going off script a little bit. But tell maybe for those who've never been in the House of Delegates, like, what is this like? And why is this even important? And why should we care what is going on in the House of Delegates?
Oh my gosh. So when I was at the conference in Vegas and I was sk skipping all the sessions, my friends were several of them were in the House of Delegates, and I was like, I cannot believe that you're sitting through this boring meeting. Like, I'll be at the pool. And here I am 8 years later, or however long, I don't know. And now I'm like, have fun in the pool. I have this super exciting meeting where we're going to make things happen. So the House of Delegates is really similar to like a Congress or a Senate. where we have representatives from every state, from different specialties, from special interest organizations. And I also got involved with that initially through the LGBTPA caucus, but I'm now serving from New York State. And I watched so many amazing things happen in the House of Delegates, and probably the most notable being the first 5 years, every year we argued, should we change our name? And we got nowhere. And then finally, in my fifth year, someone said, let's stop this. Let's have someone investigate this. Let's figure it out. And we figured it out. And 2 years later, we came back and we changed the title of the profession. And we were all in that room together with people from every state, from every specialty, really coming together to hear each other's voices and backgrounds and experiences and come up with what was best for the profession and watch that move forward. Yeah, it's this long 3-day meeting, but it is so incredible. And the people that I've met there who have just really helped me excel in my profession, who I've been able to lean on, who I've served as mentees and mentors in so many capacities, and in so many ways that's furthered my career, that's furthered my professional advocacy experiences, and it's really great. But it sounds so daunting, and I get it.
Yeah, and for those who have not been to the House of Delegates, and Jonathan is a superstar in the House of Delegates, right? All that practice on stage helped you in get up to the microphone in the HOD. And for those who don't know what the House of Delegates is basically the easiest way to think about it is like Congress. There's representatives from every state. And we talk about policy for the academy and how we want it to look and what we want it to say. And everybody has a chance to have their voice represented by those states, those caucuses, SIGs that sit at those tables, but it's also open to all PAs. So actually as a regular old PA, you can come in, you can watch, you can also step up to the microphone and make your voice heard. And I think now in this environment and sort of the world that we're living in, it's so important to make your voice heard because these representatives at the House of Delegates are speaking for you on behalf of the profession. So I encourage you all at our next annual conference to come out. You'll see Jonathan there. You'll see me there, right? And we'll be talking about really important things, not only for the PAs in the profession, but for all of healthcare and our patients. So it's such a rewarding experience. So Jonathan, you know, I know we're wrapping up to a close here. So maybe could you share one piece of advice that you would give to students as they approach graduation or those early career PAs? How can they become such an integral, important part of the healthcare team, not only the healthcare team, but really the profession? What is one piece of advice you have for them?
I'm going to give two because the first one's succinct and important, and it's stop with the imposter syndrome. I'll tell you, I just recently switched jobs and I like have this little imposter creeping inside of me. I'm like, stop it. You know what you're doing. You're great at it, actually. Getting into PA school, getting through PA school is so challenging. Probably one of the most challenging things I've done in my life. You can do it. You've got this, really. If you got through that, you're going to be great. So that's number one. 100%. Number two is to just remember that PAs are such a unique part of the healthcare system. And I shared my experience of sort of combining different specialties to create my niche practice. And you will all do the same, or you might stay in your same specialty for years and years and years and become a total rock star expert in it. And all of that's really beautiful. And I hope that it empowers and inspires you to get involved in advocacy the same way that it has for me, to know that you can always be there for your patients in the best way possible. But never lose sight of that being your why. Never lose sight that this is all about the communities and people that you're caring for. And as long as you run with that, as long as you're going to that CME event to say, I want to learn this because I want to take the best care of this patient who's going to walk into my office with this complaint on Monday, and because I want to be able to serve my community, it really is the fuel that has kept me going every single time that I've had a challenge. So make great things happen, be in the House of Delegates, change the name of the profession, but never forget that the reason we're doing that is because we need our patients to have access to us and get the best provided care possible.
Jonathan, such great advice, and to never lose sight of why we do this, right? It's about the patients. And so important. Well, thank you for being here. That wraps up this episode of Ready, Set, Practice. And if there's one takeaway from today's conversation, it's that PAs don't practice or advocate alone. So whether it's through AAPA, state organizations, mentorship, a caucus, you name it, the strength of the profession comes from teamwork and engagement. Jonathan Baker, thank you so much for sharing your experiences and showing us how advocacy plays a crucial role in shaping the future of PA practice. And for more resources and professional development opportunities, visit Learning Central, where you can claim CME for this episode. And if you found this episode valuable, be sure to subscribe and share it with your fellow PAs. Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep shaping the future of PA practice.